Life. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلت سهلا وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا رب الكريم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته everybody. Right, so it's important now that everybody stays kind of locked into the timings on the portal, and they've been written on the Telegram channel as well, because they'll be, you know, changing, you know, every week it'll be changing. Next week we are online only, because I'll be in Mecca, inshallah, and then a few remaining lessons back here. Tonight's lesson is going to finish in about 45, 50 minutes. So a bit of a shorter lesson, but I will cover, inshallah, significant content, or some important stuff actually in this week's lesson. So the Arabic of, just to take it as a whole, Bab Salatul Istisqa, إِذَا أَجْدَبَتِ الْأَرْضِ وَقَحَتِ الْمَهْضَرِ صَلَّوْهَا جَمَاعَةً وَفُرَادًا وَصِفَتُهَا فِي مَوْدِئِهَا وَأَحْكَامُهَا كَعِيدٍ وَإِذَا أَرَادَ الْإِمَامُ الْخُرُوجَ لَهَا وعد الناس وأمرهم بالتوبة من المعاصي والخروج من المظالم وترك التشاهن والصيام والصدقة ويعدهم يوما يخرجون فيه ويتنظف ولا يتطيب ويخرج متواضعا متخشئا متضللا متضرعا ومعه أهل الدين والصلاح والشيوخ والصبيان المميزون وإن خرج أهل الذمة منفردين عن المسلمين لا بيوم لم يمنعوا. So when the land becomes parched and the rain is withheld, it is to be prayed, whether in congregation or individually. In terms of where and how it is prayed, it is like the Eid prayer. Once the Imam decides the prayer will be established, he admonishes the people, ordering them to seek repentance for their sins, avoid oppression and enmity to others, to fast and to give charity. He sets a date for the prayer and they attend, having cleansed themselves but unperfumed. They should attend in a humble, hushful, lowly, supplicatory manner. They should be accompanied by the people of religion and righteousness, the elderly, and those children. I thought you said you changed it. Did you not say you changed it? I think I might have an old one then. No, it's the same one.
What's the
same? It says the children that have at the at the age, yes, at the correct, What was the other one?
Occurs.
They should be accompanied by the people of religion and righteousness, the elderly, and those children at the age of discernment. If the Ahlul Dhimma request to also go out and pray, separate to the Muslims, they should not be prevented as long as it occurs on the same day. All right, and I hope to cover all of this, inshallah, today. All right, cool. So let's jump straight in. So we finished actually everything, and we are now at exactly, in terms of the text, we are now that and they attend, having cleansed themselves but unperfumed. We ended there. They should attend in a mutawadi'an, mutakhashi'an, mutadhallilan, mutadharri'an manner. And I have translated this, and we're going to go through each word, that they should attend in a humble, hushful, lowly, supplicatory manner. Let's explore all of these words. So he says that these characteristics indicate, in essence, that you don't go out in a party mood. And it's not everybody, you know, skipping and jumping and, you know, whatever. And, you know, decorum is very, very important. right? How you carry yourself in different scenarios is very important. Now, you know, when we have discussions about all kinds of different Islamic subjects, a lot of the time, especially when you're teaching classical texts, people are not translating the societal differences as well, the cultural differences as well, and the era differences. And the proper scholar, the real scholar, and not just a real scholar in terms of knowledge, but also the right scholar. So a proper scholar and a right scholar are two different things. A proper scholar means properly qualified, which many, of course, will be. The right scholar will only be a few. The difference between the one who has grown up with the people and knows their culture and knows yani, what ruling to give them or not, even though there might be some options, but he's got to almost kind of play a game with the people, right? Versus someone who lives in a Muslim country, lives in a certain era, lives in a certain level of practicingness, etc., etc., etc. A classic example is the funeral prayer, janaza. What is the general, you know that game where they say word association? What's the first word that you think of when you see a gathering? Okay, so what is that first word that you come, that comes to your mind when you're at the graveyard? And you see the people who are there. And whatever the word will come into your mind, I can tell you it's definitely not the right mood of what people should be in when there's someone being buried. And the reason for that is because people go to so few burials. And the reason for that is that the people who come to those burials, so not only are the all Muslims practicing, not practicing good, bad, it's not enough that they're going to, but then the Muslims actually being active in society, right? You've got all of the non-practicing kind of folks, and obviously a death is gonna bring them out because it brings everybody out. And so all it is hugs. Oh, I haven't seen you for donkey's years. Oh man, how's so-and-so, how's so-and-so? Because all of your old friends come out because your friend has passed, right? And you've got people that you've not seen. So the whole thing's a circus. Every janazah in this country that I have ever been to is a complete circus. A complete circus. And just, you know, trying to catch up. And it's unbelievably awkward. And for myself, I find it incredibly distasteful. People are like really happy to see me after a very long time, for example. And I'm like, not now, right? And it's difficult because people are naturally happy because they haven't seen you for ages. Decorum matters. Especially when you've seen a friend and you have a relationship and you know there's jokes and it's gonna happen. And the amount of laughter that occurs at the grave of a deceased person is insane. And it's completely unique to the West. It's absolutely unique to the West. You will not see that behavior in the Muslim lands, in the villages, whatever, because A, they're seeing each other all the time anyway, B, they're going all the time anyway. And there is an example of how the Ummah needs to respond, the society needs to respond, and scholars need to respond in the way that they kind of speak about a certain thing and concept. Now, there are certain things you'd think obvious, and you don't think they need to be said, but they do need to be said. Now, the rain prayer is an ironic one because actually the kind of people who are going to be praying the rain prayer are so few of the people, and it'll be so only the practicing folks because it's a long prayer, it's a weird prayer, meaning it's out of the time, people are working, people are so busy. So only a few people are actually going to go in the West. So the irony is that one of these type of prayers might be kind of like not so affected by that kind of reality, ironically. But I do want you to know that mood is important. Mood is important, and we're going to speak about something else that is not, you know, necessarily spoken about or not observed. So he's saying that, you know, you don't go out chilling. في سرور وفرح والسرور, that you're happy, and even if you are happy, even if you are personally happy, the whole point of this prayer is that you lot are a disaster, you lot don't deserve the rain, and you're not getting the rain. And we are coming out saying, we are sorry that we're a disaster. We want to be deserving. Oh, Allah, forgive us and give us the rain. And so your mood needs to match that. And what we learn then is that there is a real connection to the outside and the inside. Because you do get a lot. Again, it's all the don't judge me, bakwas. You know that those people, right? It's all, you don't know the state of my heart. You don't know, you know, what I'm like inside. Their point being that there's a disconnect between the outside and the inside. You're seeing something on the outside, I'm not covering, I'm shaving, I'm not praying, but you don't know the state of my heart. My heart's good inside. They want to divide between the two. There is no division. In Islam, there is no division between the outside and the inside. If your inside is done right, it shows on the outside. This is just a complete pathetic nonsense made up by the people who are of sin and crime and whatever. And when they take evidences like أَشَقَقْتَ قَلْبَ يعني the statement, the admonition of the Prophet ﷺ to Ali radiallahu anhu, and this happened a few times, you know, when there were violent reactions by the Sahaba against others in war, to a scenario when the Prophet ﷺ said, did you like examine your heart, his heart, that you made a judgment that he's not a Muslim and you killed him. It's crazy that a military exception has become like the mantra of this generation. It's become like the slogan and almost a base principle that all Muslims should be judged by, that you don't know my inside. Where did you even learn that from, this idea? Do you know what I mean? And it's become widespread. It's a dominant theme that we are like terrified. Bro, the only thing that we're meant to be doing is holding society to account. The Prophet ﷺ said that if you leave off enjoining the good and forbidding the evil, then watch what happens. Then this, and then that, and then that, whatever. Enjoining the good and forbidding the evil is entirely a judgment on other people. And the only thing that stops it is the limit that stops it. There's no rule that stops it. So if you have the power to dispense complete justice to the extent of taking a life, and there will be no legal repercussions, there's certainty in doing it, a form of vigilantism. And once you get into more detail, for example, a man, when he believes that his wife is being attacked or abused or whatever, whatnot, you think, yani, that he holds back, yani, and like, you know, like some, I don't know, I don't want the, I don't even know what to say. You go in and you defend, or you go full force, and your dispensing justice at that time is seen as a very, very specific part of the Sharia, an exception to the general rule of the ruler, only one that does, just like in law. And obviously, civil society has also struggled with this, the whole defense kind of, self-defense kind of rule, and anything that happens in your own home, and what's that miskin's name? Tony, whatever it was, that farmer. Martin, the shotgun guy. He defined our generation, that guy, right? We were 20 years now, maybe? Right? When I mean, this happens in America literally every day, by the way. But I mean, it's something else. For us, it's a weird one, right? So obviously they broke in, he shot the guy and killed him. And, you know, there was a massive back and forth. He had the full right. My point is that even wider society, and of course you know that their legal system is taken from ours anyway, but you recognize that legal systems understand this. I mean, secular systems also accept this principle. So we are meant to make judgment calls. And that's why there does exist a difference between murder and manslaughter. There's a big difference. And there's a difference between first degree and second degree. There's a difference between intention. There's a difference. So I want you to know that we are always judging people and required to judge people. And yes, you've got to be playing your own a game as well. You can't be opening yourself up to nifaq. But like I said, the nonsense of the left, the liberals, the non-practicing has permeated into the mainstream, and it's made us like, it's like, I don't know what it's made us, but you get my point. So there needs to be practicing on the outside. There needs to be a display. And obviously, that's talking about obligations and obvious points. And this may be not so obvious, but I like to always, when you see a non-obvious example and you're really happy to accept it, like there'll be nobody on the left or liberals or modernists that will not accept the common sense of this. That if you're desperate to be responded to, show that you look a bit desperate. And then we could turn around and say, why? There's no logical connection between you got a big smiley face on the outside and being desperate to be answered in dua. He'll say that, well, at least look like you're serious. I'll say, yeah, I agree. Then what about you? Yeah, you look like you're serious about your deen. And act like you're serious about your deen. And pray like you're serious about your deen. And cover like you're serious about your deen. And stop doing external actions like you're serious about your deen. So sometimes the principle can be strengthened at the lower level, or a logical idea or a common sense. Okay? So he goes, don't jump out in farah and surur لأن المقام لا يقتضي. This is not the right moment for that particular kind of mood. Now let's break each word down. متواضعًا. تواضع, everybody I think understands as humility. What did we translate as? Humble, yeah. Okay, humble. And it means يعني بقوله وهيئته وقلبه. والتواضع معروف. He goes that of all the words to try to describe, because this does get tricky now. Okay, because these are all very, very close to synonyms here, right? He goes, as for تواضع, it's actually well known. Everybody understands humility. حتى إنك ترجع, you'll be able to see a person and straight away you'll be able to say he's من المتواضعين. You can see a person, he's a humble kind of guy, the way he carries himself. And you can see another guy, وتعرف أنه من المتكبرين. And you see straight off that the guy's an arrogant person. Is it proud, the opposite, or is it arrogant? Humble. Is it? What's the difference between proud and arrogant? Of arrogant. You can't, pride can be positive. You can have, take pride in yourself without putting another person down. It does, therefore, arrogance mean that you put another person down? Because that's what's not acceptable in Sharia. It's always good to be proud of your good deeds and then attribute it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right, good, good. Okay, so he's proud and thinks he's better than the rest. Yeah, good, good. There's one thing about being proud about who you are and achieving it, and that can get out of control, and we've got to be careful. And another thing, you then saying, and I'm way better than you, and you're not doing enough. Good, okay. So, therefore, so what's the opposite of humble? Is it, yeah? All right. So you can tell straight away this guy's from the Mutakabirin. فيكون متواضع للحق وللخلق. So it's important that when we look at a person who's humble, he's humble to two things. He's humble to the truth and he's humble to the people. Humble to the truth, he has no fear. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him that is needing to be done, or this is the ruling, accepts it. No issue, no but, this, that, maybe, no, bang. And to the people, he doesn't disrespect the people. He doesn't put them down. This is what it means to be متواضع. So that's humble. Okay, then متخشعًا. This is tough. Okay, متخشع, I translated as hushful. Okay, what does متخشع mean? متخشع من الخشوع. Now, when we all hear the word خشوع, it's always the big question: how do I get خشوع? How do I get خشوع in salah? Right? I don't even know what people say. I've always taught that خشوع is something that the internal, like it's for me, this is from my own pocket, I'm not saying this is from Quran and Sunnah. There are some times where you describe a word or even describe a state or even live a state in which the internal brings out the external. Yeah? Right? And in my opinion, there are sometimes rare occasions if you perfect the external, it'll sort out the internal. Right? I think this is one of those rare examples. So, but it's semantic, because I'm pretty sure someone could argue, no, actually what you just described is the internal having an impact upon the external. I think khushu means stillness. All right? And I've always thought that and lived that and believed that, because in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَرَى الْأَرْضَ خَاشِعَةً. Right? And then, فَإِذَا وَإِذَا أَنزَلْنَا فَإِذَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْهِ الْمَاءِ اهْتَزَّتْ وَرَبَتْ. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and when you look at the earth, it's completely still. It's not moving. You know those time-lapse videos? Yeah, when he's looking at the earth to watch the growth of the thingy. Then you see the rain come on the seed, and if it's speeded up, you'll see suddenly the whole, it looks like an earthquake. You get what I'm saying? You only see that on time-lapse, of course. And so you see it thingy, and then suddenly, whoops, the little sprout jumps open, and then it goes like that, because it speeded up so quickly. فَتَرَى الْأَرْضَ خَاشِعَةً. You see it completely still, and then suddenly, and then bam, right? اهْتَزَّتْ وَرَبَتْ, right? The tarbiyah starts, the cultivation of the plant then starts. Yeah, it then grows and everything. And so, what did we see? Stillness, complete stillness. So if you want to achieve this magical state of khushu' in salah, the first place you start is just be still. You see people, you know, I mean, the Arabs are obviously miskeen. They're the ones that we're going to pick on first. Yeah, they got the ghutra and then, you know, they go for sajda and then sajda like that. And then like that. The whole flipping prayer is just straightening. You think, so where is this guy's heart, head, this, that, blah, 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 right? People who are wearing like clothes that don't have hanging, this is one of the reasons why I advise people to wear clothes that don't have extra layers. You just remove that whole, you know, potential fitna. That's not to say that Arabs move more than any other people, but because they've got that yani bagwas there, it's asking to be played with. Do you know what I mean? It's asking to be played with. And wallah, if I ever saw a single benefit of that in the prayer from anyone who wore it, except that it became something that they were touching. Now, there'll be other versions of other people. There'll be people that are just twiddling, you know, playing this, that, you know. The whole, that should be, yani, what is being used for, right? And because they're so expensive now, as Shan says, the reason it should be is to use it, yani, as a little bit of a cover. Now, because it's so expensive, people like stick it over the, you know, before they go for sajda, they come out from ruku', they do a little flick, and the cheeky little flick, so it goes there and it goes there, you know, the classic kind of thingy, so they make sajda so it doesn't get dirty on the floor. What the heck is going on here, bro? Situation turned upside down. So, like, I'll just give an example. When I go for salah, I will be often thinking about what hat I wear, because I always wear a hat, different types. And I will be choosing, depending upon if I know that I'm, to this extent I'm thinking, right? Not that it makes me any better, but just so that I know that I can't give myself, because I have tics. My bezel is a fitna for me. I watch with a bezel, and I'm always on my bezel. Drives Shahzad Salim mad, it does, okay? Because whenever he's recording, he goes, I can hear your flipping bezel, stop. And he sends me a message on WhatsApp during a live. It goes, stop playing with your bezel. You can hear it through the microphone, yeah? So I'm always adjusting it, you'll see. If I'm wearing a pakol, right, that's not a good necessarily fit for the salah, unless from the very, very beginning, I either take it off or I push it to the back. Whereas this one, because it's flat, I don't need to worry about it. Keep making sajda upon it, no issues. You get what I'm saying? You should make conscious decisions in what you wear and how you're feeling. So it's not just about what you're wearing. It's like if you're not well, make sure you take your medication before the salah so that you're not yani, an itching and whatever. So if you're going to take an antihistamine, take it before the prayer so that you're not feeling the itching and the urticaria yani, in your body, you know, during the prayer. There's got to be a respect and a haiba for the salah. There's got to be a stillness. And stillness will calm everything down, and everything being calmed down will calm the internal down as well. And then the rest of the whole spiritual aids, there's books and lectures about khushu', about reflecting and about thinking and, Quran. But the key is now to be still. And all of the benefits that come from still. So what comes from stillness? Quietude, I think, comes from stillness. And reflection comes from stillness. Slowing things down comes from stillness. And therefore, I'm just going to read what he says, متخشعان. He goes, الخشوع سكون الأطراف. So he's actually said what I've said. He goes, just making the limbs yani in their place. Stop twiddling, stop you know moving, stop yani going from one foot to the other, hands and fingers. Let all of the edges and the limbs yani chill. وإن يكون على وقار وهيبة. وقار and هيبة. Two other tough words actually. Not difficult at all to explain what they mean. But when you're using seven words and they all mean the same thing, so waqar means to come with some respect. I always call waqar gravitas, right? Yani, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when you come to salah, come with sakina wal waqar. Sakina, we all know, is just to be calm. You don't run. Now, so when you come to the prayer, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't want you to, you know, they're in ruku', you're about to miss it, just walk. You missed it. Don't run to the prayer. Two things will happen if you run to the prayer, two things. The opposite of sakina and waqar. First, you're going to be, when you get to the prayer, yeah? So you're not calm. Your heart's not calm. Your sweat's coming down. your body's all whatever, you're uncomfortable, you're hotter, so you just cannot have sakina. Sakina's got to be a calm heart, calm blood, calm everything. So sakina, we get it, yeah? You're just relaxed, you're tranquil. When you think of a person who's tranquil, you're thinking of a guy who's spaced out. It's the opposite of a guy who's all, you know what I mean? So that's sakina. Waqar is the look of that guy. How do we look at a guy who walks to a prayer? We think, rah, man, my guy thinks like he's got all the time in the world. That's what you'd say, isn't it? Now, if you think of a guy who's got all the time in the world, what do we think of such a person? Not a negative way, do we? We think he's a man of respect, he's got... That's why I say gravitas. Because when we see him running or rushing, we think, man, what bagharat this guy is. And you just look at him, he just looks a fool. He's embarrassed himself. He's, you know what I mean? Yeah, we don't like people who are all over the place, twitching and, you know what I mean? So you just got to be calm. So Sheikh Uthaymeen is saying that khushu' is all of that calmness, it's that stillness, it's that respect, it's that gravitas, it's that people looking at you, they're like, that's a serious one. Therefore, I translated mutakhashi'an as hushful. There's got to be a better word out there. If you've already used the word humble, hushful, sorry, yeah, humble, what is, now let me do the other two, and then we come back to see whether we can improve the words. Because like I said, all of them are very, very close. Right, even humble is very close to this, isn't it? Yeah? Right. قوله متذللا متذللا من الذل وهو الهوان. Now, ذل means to be humiliated, to be low, to be cussed, to be stepped on. Right? ذليل. When we say ذليل, we go, man, bestie, man, this guy is... Bisharam, he's like, you know, he's fully been humiliated. Yeah? بمعنى أن يضع من نفسه وهو قريب من التواضع لكنه أشد لأن الإنسان يرى نفسه أنه ذليل أمام الله عز وجل. يعني, he said that it's like khushu, but it's far more intense. It's more stronger than humility. It's bringing yourself down, but not in front of the people, but in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the only word I think that fits here is lowly. But debase is too negative. Because it means humiliated. The translation is humiliated. Mutadallilan means humiliated. If we were to say, yani the kafir, we pulled him in, yani we pulled the kafir in mutadallilan, the only translation we would say, isn't it? We'd say, we brought him in humiliated. You get what I'm saying? We're now using the same word, but the Prophet ﷺ didn't come out humiliated. He came out, yani, humiliating himself in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then you wouldn't use that either. Now the problem is that I can't find in the English language a positive form of humiliation and lowliness and abasement, debasement, whatever. So if someone's clever and got an idea,
what about grounded?
Grounded, no, it's definitely not. I just feel that lowly, Imtiaz said that stable and realistic, that grounded means stable and realistic about one's position. No, I think grounded is miles off. I didn't know that grounded had a dhalil aspect. It just means, you know, I'm based. Subjugated, submissive. Yeah, so I was thinking about submissive. In a submissive state. Problem is that you don't have a nice word, one word. You got to put in a submissive state. Because actually, it is in a submissive state. But is it? Where's Emma when you need her, man? This is the lesson she runs away. She loved this lesson, bro. Surrendered. Surrendered ain't bad as well. But it's like the submissive one. Right? Yeah, someone else here said sincere as well. Abbas said sincere as well. I don't think it's sincere. Subdued, yeah? Subdued? Subdued is good, I think. But is there any kind of putting yourself down in subdued? There is a bit. Indicates a what?
Quieted ego or lessened arrogance.
Quieted ego. Subdued. Allah subdued, I think. Okay, let's have a quick show of hands. After explaining that, hands up for subdued over lowly, okay? So we just want to take a quick vote. Those who want to go with subdued? Over lowly. Those who go with lowly? Okay. It seems quite equalish. Let's do that again. People who think subdued is better than lowly. Lowly. متذللاً. Okay, let's. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Dhalil means disgraced, humiliated, shamed, cast.
Subdued is what you can say out of his.
Yeah, that's the problem. Subdued is too positive. Yeah. Subdued doesn't have, well, that's true though, is that, he's right. If your mum calls you dhalil, it doesn't mean you're subdued. You feel lowly. You feel lowly. And she's calling you lowly without calling you bagheret, because she made a decision to say something. It's like you bagheret, yeah? But she called you dhalil, which is not intentionally wanting to call you bagheret. By the way, what's worse, dhalil or bagheret? I think it's dhalil. Come on, Jazz, you get that all the time. You gotta tell us. What's worse, Bisharam, Bagheret or Dhalil? Bagheret is worse. Bagheret is the worst. Bagheret is a great word, you know that? It's one of my all time goat Urdu words. Bagheret. بغيرت بغيرت يعني بدون غيرة. Alright, بغيرت يعني anyway ذليل. So what are we saying? Subdued, quiet and rather reflective or depressed. Yeah, I don't think that seem muted.
What about keeping it simple and just God fearing?
Because it's got nothing to do with God fearing, bro. Behave. It can't be disgraced. I like lowly because it suggests lowly in relation to another. Somber. And that's not the point. Unassuming. A diffident, humble, meek. No, diminution. A diminutive state. That's not strong enough, is it? I think I'm going to go with lowly. I think we're going to stick with lowly. I don't think it's a million miles off. I'm not happy with it, but I don't think it's a million miles off. Okay? Self-deprecating, you mean? Yeah, I think I've thought about self-deprecating. I didn't like it because... Why did I reject self-deprecating? What do you think of self-deprecating? It's not the same, huh? You're doing it yourself. متذللاً. Yeah, he's right, by the way. Because this is taken from hadith, as we're going to see in a minute. And Ibn Abbas said that he came out متذللاً. متذللاً comes from the fifth form. Sixth form? Fifth form, whatever. Yani the defa'ul form of the verb means that it's something which is self-done. It didn't, so someone else didn't do it to you, you do it. Does that make sense? So the self, yeah, it's an active thing that you have chosen to do. So it's a positive, يعني, kind of, yeah, positive-ish. So that's why I was looking at self-deprecating, because you are self-deprecating. But I don't know what's holding me back from self-deprecating. Yeah. Yeah, but abasing yourself is a far stronger thing than to deprecate yourself. Isn't it? Deprecate is not like very strong. Like, yeah, it's criticizing and doing an analysis and audit of yourself. Yeah? Like I said, I think there's too many close words, and I don't think lowly is that far off it. So I think we're going to go for it. I didn't hear like a banger. But you know, Augustus just came with self-abnegating. Abnegating, A-B-N-E-G-A, yeah? There's a new one, okay? So I'm being corrected on my Urdu. They said that the way that you say yani bighairat means with ghairat. Bighairat, because you've got to say bighairat. Yani, which pack he goes bighairat? You did my bestie. Yeah, you are bisharam. Come on, bro. Shaz, the fount of Urdu, would anyone ever do that? I can't even believe that you even looked and tried to answer that question like you are the fount of Urdu, bro. He was actually taking his role seriously there for a second, like, yes, I am that guy. Right. وَقَوْلُهُ مُتَضَرِّعًا. The last one, التَّدَرُّع. Now, this is a very much used word in the Quran and the Sunnah. الاستكانة, to seek سكينة. أو شدة الإنابة إلى الله عز وجل. قال تعالى ادعوا ربكم تضرعا وخفيا. Call upon Allah with humility and يعني in silent, in private. Call upon Allah silently in private. Right? Not silent, sorry. Call upon Allah humbly and in private. And it's important, we've spoken about this in art, because this is one of the verses that we used for art about the etiquette of dua. You know, you obviously saw what I don't like about making dua here. Although, alhamdulillah, ours are not having that part, but the out loud dua can get out of control. And the louder it gets out of control. Whether a person is making it themselves, and definitely when the imam's in the zone and he's like, you know, he's got it rhyming and everyone's going, Ameen, Ameen, and he's going, it goes, whoa, this is out of control. This is not like how Allah wants the dua to be made. He wants it khufya, in private, in quiet, right? That's how you make dua to Allah, not big. And then it is showing humility. You don't demand from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You come to Him broken and in need, right? So, so tadarra is Sheikh Uthaymeen says in explaining the verse, call upon Allah humbly and in private. A shiddatil lujua ila Allah azza wa jal. Okay, that there should be a real sense of desperation in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, returning back to Him and being really want to, yani, you know, fix this situation. All right, so that's another tough one. Because normally you would have said tadarru means humble, but we've already used that for tawadu. We've already used humble for tawadu. So what are we going to give for tadarru? So I translated it as supplicatory. Now this is the one word which is furthest from the linguistic meaning, but that's its intention. Because if you do supplicate in the right manner, if you supplicate in a supplicatory manner, it means that, I don't even know. Someone check what supplicatory means. Does it mean? You know, Sabina's made a point here. She said that lowly, isn't that more about a status, whereas subdued is more choice? Is it, yeah?
Primarily, the meaning of lowly is a status. You can observe this. You don't make it primarily that. It's less that you're actually making this.
Then we can't do that. Shaz, change that one, yeah? So make that note to change lowly to subdued. Because it needs to be an active. It can't be like an observed whatever. Yeah, so supplicatory is an adjective describing a humble, earnest, or pleading request, often used in religious or serious context to implore help, mercy, or forgiveness. So that's fine, that's the intention of the state, but that's not the word tadarru. You know what I'm saying? Tadarru means to actually want to calm yourself down and to be humble. But I don't think it's so important. The key between all these words is to describe the objective, not necessarily the individual steps. Okay, so I think we'll go with supplicatory there, but we will change thingy. But I just want you to be aware that tadarru is really close to tawadu. It's all humility, basically. The whole thing is about humble. Yeah? All right. So I think in the end, then we go with this thing that they should attend in a humble, hushful, subdued, supplicatory manner. And I think there's nobody who's any doubt then what this person should be looking like, sounding like, feeling like, the vibe, yani, is. Okay? All right. Good. Sheikh Uthaymeen says, the evidence for all these descriptive markers, these characteristics, is the statement of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, when he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he went out for the rain prayer, he went out mutadhallilan, mutawadi'an, mutakhashi'an, mutadarri'a. Hadith narrated by Imam Ahmad, volume 1330. Actually, forget that one. Go for the riwayah of Abu Dawood, hadith number 1165. Okay, narrated by Tirmidhi as well, 557, and Nasa'i as well, and also by Imam Ibn Majah as well. I don't think this hadith is the most authentic, by the way, but I think it's good enough. Right? I believe it to be Hassan. I cannot remember the details, but I don't think it is from the most authentic. Anyway, al-muhim is that this is the describer, what we expect, yani, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that's what it was described as. All right. The next thing is that he says, and with him, they should be accompanied by the people of وَمَعَهُ أَهْلُ الدِّينِ وَالصَّلَاحِ. Why? Ahluddin, the people of religion, and salah, meaning righteousness. So they're people of religiosity. They're people who are good. The people of deen, the people of religiosity, right? The people of religion, I've translated it as, and righteousness. And the reason for that is because they are the people who Allah responds to. They are the people of ijabah. Because ultimately, a person, yani, that's disobeying Allah, then why would they, yani, matter to Allah? And someone who is doing all the right things and obey, worshipping Allah, then that is the person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cares about, respects, doesn't want to let down, doesn't want to disappoint, and that's a basic fact. Now, I want you to keep this thought in your mind, okay? First of all, why are they two separate things? No. The "and" here is just indicating like a descriptive or exaggeration of the, a repetition almost, yani, that the people, because the people of deen have to be people of salah. It's not possible to be a person of religion and you're not righteous, right? It's just kind of emphasizing the point. So three people are mentioned, or three groups are mentioned. The first is the people of deen and righteousness. Shuyukh, the elderly. Why? Because they are, as he says, al-kibar alladhina amdaw a'amaruhum fi deen wa salah, li'annahum aqrabu ila al-ijaba. The key between all three groups is that they are most likely to be responded to. Think about this, right? So what we're doing essentially is we're going out with our best weapons. We're in absolute desperate need. We're right at the very last yani point of desperation. We need to have our dua accepted. We've got to get rid of the dross. We need our very best people forward. So we call out the most religious, the best righteous. Then we call out the elderly. Not all the elderly. As he said, the elderly who have spent so much more years being in deen and salah, right? So not necessarily the scholars, but they've been keeping it real and keeping it a real long time. These are people that are the barakah of the community. They're sometimes holding it down for the rest of us, yani, bagharas, right? So they're the people that we need. And then the third category is the interesting one. Wal wasubyan al-mumayyizun. And then those kids who are at the age of discernment. Now, mumayyizun means those kids who have tamyiz. Tamyiz is the one who is able to work out right from wrong. We've always said that that's like an early 6 and a late 8. So 7 is your prime target. But it's not an actual fixed age. But it's a rough age. You sometimes get, yani, an early bloomer, late 6 that you start to see it in. Normally it's 7. And sometimes it can get be an 8-year-old. You need to wait for an 8-year-old. And it means someone who, as I said, knows right from wrong. From a practical point of view, I've always said to the people, is when you know that you can send him to the shop and they're going to, yani, know what to do and come back and bring you no change, because if they're a proper kid, they'll buy sweets with the rest of it. And they'll say, well, that's the tax, yani, of the shopping. This is proper mayyiz. This is when you know that the kid's got it. You know what I'm saying? So you're not sending a 5-year-old to the shop. And you're probably not sending a 6-year-old to the shop. Yeah? Too many roads to cross, whatever. But at 7 or 8, you think, yep, that's going to be all right. That's what tamyiz means. Able to distinguish between right and wrong. So that's what it means. Why that age? A, because we don't need the riffraff little flipping kids paying the backsides they are. Dirty, noisy, headache, stress, whatever. We are here for serious business. Serious business. And anywhere where there's no kids is no serious business. Understand? This is an intentional act. We're in control. We're taking out our best people. Who would bring their kids? Except yani, the modern folks who are like, oh, well, this masjid doesn't let you bring kids. Bro, this yani, masjid does more serious business than Salatul Istisqa. No one obligated Salatul Istisqa. I don't know of anybody that doesn't make yani, the prayer in the masjid an obligation. And they think that it's okay to bring kids. Yani, the crazy thing is that a parent looks you straight in the face, in the eye, and says straight-faced that he's not affected by the fact that his kid's in the salah. And I mean the three-year-old, the four-year-old, the two-year-old. And they justify it and they say they were there at the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Which might be the most ignorant statement I hear in my working year, because they are the people who are the most ignorant. Yeah? Imagine the scholars of the different madhahib making this point about a non-obligatory prayer outside a masjid. We don't want the kids around. What do you think about inside the masjid for the obligatory prayer? So, and of course there's a difference. Remember, we're in control here. The instances in the masjid that you would have seen kids is no other choice. Yeah? Like, you might be coming back, your missus might be coming back from, I don't know, shopping or whatever, got the kids, time's running out, pulls in to pray. What's she going to do with the kids? Of course she's going to bring them in. Yeah? At that time, there is no doors or anything. Kids are all over the show. Animals going in and out, kids going in and out. It's just an open society. There's no cars outside. There's no, you know, whatever. It's all sand, inside, outside, just the doorway. It's all, yeah, and everyone chilling, Bob Dylan. My guy came in and he thought, yeah, let me just pee in the corner, bro. Right? That's what the Bedouin did. He goes, yeah, no difference here. Just walk through this alleyway here, or let me just in this corner. Bish, bash, bosh. So people are like, oh, well, how do you think they brought the kids? Bro, you plumb. Do you know anything about anything that you're trying to use that example and apply it to a on a road, closed yani entity with doors, blah, 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 blah. So, and yani, it's insane to me actually that they think that this is a praiseworthy situation. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he was told, why did you cut the prayer short? Were the companions praising him or were they shocked? What happened? I didn't want to cause the mother any more further distress, her kids crying, stressing everybody else out. But if you were feeling stressed, imagine what she's feeling like. Hold on. Why should she be stressed if we're all meant to bring our kids to the masjid and it's all bring their kids to the masjid day? So why is anyone, yani, why should we be all stressed for? Why would you stop the prayer? Carry on praying. Sah. It's a madness, yani, the people and their fiqh. Oh, what about so-and-so came and climbing over the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Oh, because he really said, listen, come down at exactly this time and come climb on my shoulders. Bro, madness the way that people create their own fiqh. Madness. Anyway, so that's why we don't want young kids. And we want them at that age. Why not older? Classic what he says. Any older than that, they're the worst of people, bro. That's when they all start gathering. Yeah, you know, once you are accountable and you become mature, and you're not even, so you hit maturity, but you haven't hit the age of, like, you know, yeah.
So that's what isn't the point here is that you're taking out the least sinful.
Correct. That's exactly what he said. He goes, الَّذِينَ لَمْ يَبْلُغُوا لِأَنَّهُ لَا ذَنُوبَ لَهُمْ. They haven't reached maturity, so therefore they've got no sins. They are sinless. The seven-year-old is the perfect sinless age, right? Because they haven't reached the age of maturity, right? بلوغ. So they have no sins. So therefore, they are also أقرب إلى الإجابة. They are the closest to be responded to. مِمَّنْ مَلَأَتِ الذُّنُوبَ صَحَائِفَهُمْ. يعني compared to يعني أصلاً who our books are all full of the bad deeds. And he said, the مميزون, so that the young kids who are not يعني at that age, they don't come because they are not to come out. لأنهم ربما يحصل منهم من الأذية والصياح والبكاء أكثر مما يحصل من المنفعة. He goes, we're out there trying to put on yani, a show here. We're trying to put an act on here. We're trying to get the job done. And these lot are going to come with their harm, suyah, yani, shouting, screaming, buka, crying. And we'll get harm out of the situation. Everyone's all freaked out, irritated, yani, you know, blah, blah, blah. Then actually getting the job done. And he said, ma'ahu, because he goes, is to be accompanied. And accompanied here does not mean that they've got to walk with him. It means that they would be at the salah there with him. With that, Hamza, very quickly. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, this is ideal. None of this is obligatory, of course. But this is the. Because frankly, if they didn't, nobody would come. I mean, imagine. People don't turn up in the eclipse prayer. Like, if you see the eclipse prayer, first of all, they're not done because there's no demand for it. And when it's done, there's literally nobody there. Let alone the rain prayer. And when have we ever bloody done the rain prayer, bro? We're like, we need to find a non-rain prayer. What's the anti-rain prayer? Anyway. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. I don't know what time it is next week, but unless you know, Shaz. 8:20 p.m. online. Okay, folks, not here. 8:20 p.m. Don't think so, but let's see. Wallahu a'lam. Jazakum Allah khair, guys. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta wa astaghfiruka Allahumma wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.